Hello and welcome back to the Grief Gang podcast with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. The message behind the Grief Gang is to normalise the topic of conversation that is grief. People living with grief can often feel ashamed, isolated and alone. This podcast was created to break those taboos after I myself experienced all of those feelings after the loss of my mum in 2016. I decided enough was enough and we need to talk about this. You'll hear on this podcast an array of stories and experiences, some being my own and some being fantastic guest episodes and their incredible stories. You'll laugh, you'll cry, but I hope above all, I hope you'll learn. I hope you'll learn that you are not alone in your grief journey, that you have a voice and it should be heard, that you and your grief matter. So without further ado, I'll let you enjoy the episode. Happy listening. Hello, hello, Grief Gang, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. This week, I am joined by a very amazing guest who I've had in the diary for a very long time, but fucking lockdown and COVID got in the way.
Really did.
But it really did, but we're here today. Yay. And we are here to tell the story. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Afia Adon.
Oh, Amber, I loved your intro. Oh.
Thank you. I just get in the zone. And
from
I'm
one
like...
host to another, you did a good job.
Oh, that, and that means a lot. I have watched you and I'm like, she fucking aces it.
Oh,
absolutely
aces
it.
I try.
You try. You like exasperate. What's the word?
Exude,
maybe. Exude, that's it. Just ooze it. You ooze it.
Oh, bless you.
So tell the listeners who you are and what you do, darling.
So my name is Afia Adon, as Amber so rightly said, and I am, I guess, a journalist, a broadcaster, presenter, commentator. So I do lots of TV bits, basically. So I work across This Morning on ITV, Jeremy Vine on Channel 5, and do some sort of bits for CNN, for Euronews, Sky News, Arise News. Yeah.
All the news.
Basically, the news.
Honestly, you're killing it. Absolutely killing it.
Thank you.
When you first put on like your Instagram, you're like, oh, on ITV This Morning. I was like, This Morning is my jam. Like,
Isn't it?
I love This Morning.
I absolutely
So first
love
thing
it.
I do, when I get up in the morning, make my cup of tea, sit down, 1:03 This Morning.
This is it. Do you know what? Even for me, I really started watching This Morning when I was on maternity leave.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. And it was literally like, this sounds so cheese balls, but it was a genuine dream come true to be on that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely love it.
And did that happen in lockdown, that opportunity?
Yeah, yeah, it really did. Do you know what? Lots of amazing opportunities came my way during lockdown. And I think it was partly because of lockdown, but also partly because of Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
And it's been a kind of weird dichotomy to have gone through so much grief. You know, there's been so much of it around. And, you know, we don't just talk about grief of people who have lost people due to COVID-19 or due to violence by the police. It's grief of jobs. It's grief of a way of life. Grief of health if you're recovering from COVID-19. And it was certainly a very tough 6 months. But for me, career-wise, it's just been amazing. So it's sort of strange to say that because so many people have gone through so many horrible things. You kind of feel bad in a way.
I absolutely about to say you almost feel guilty.
Yeah,
I feel
you
the
really
same as
do.
Well, that
you
things
really
have
do.
Excelled for me during lockdown.
But then I think, I was talking to someone about this, and I've actually had this conversation with a few people, and some people are like, this is just your time. Maybe that was what it took to change for people to realise potential or people to make
give you your flowers.
And so I think sort of, we should own it, and you should own it as well.
Yeah, it's true, it's true, definitely. And I think coming out of lockdown, I'm beginning to own it and be really grateful for what has happened in this last 6 months.
That is it.
Yeah. I think hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't
it?
And looking back, and I look back and I think, wow, like, shit. A lot of cool things happened, and likewise.
Yeah.
Just as well, guys, we do have a little star guest in the room too.
We do. James McBunnison, to give him his full name. So in lockdown, myself and Naima, my daughter, she's 8. She's been pestering me for a pet. She wanted a hamster. I was like, I'd literally rather gouge out my own eyes. Then she wanted guinea pigs and she wanted not one but two. And I was like, again, that's not going to happen.
Not on my vibe.
She wore me down. She saved her money. So the pet shop down the road from us, she'd been scoping them out. We'd been on a reconnaissance mission. All the time I was just like, I'm just not doing it. Eventually, one Sunday night, she just sat down next to me and she was just like, you know, I've saved this amount of money. And she'd saved like 50 quid.
Oh.
Just from like doing odd jobs and like, you know, when Nana gives you some
a little bit of cash.
And she was like, you know, I just really want a little friend to be around when you're working, you know, and just like heart.
My heart just drops, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Suck it up, Mum, we're going
to
do it.
We're doing it.
So I said,
get to the shop.
We're going to go tomorrow. So I called up the pet shop. I said, have you got any guinea pigs? They said they didn't have any.
Mm.
They said, we've got hamsters or rabbits. So I put them on hold. I said, Naima, they've got no guinea pigs. I'm really sorry. But today's the day. They've got hamsters or rabbits. And she went, oh, a rabbit. And actually, I'd always wanted a rabbit when I was younger. Oh. I was never allowed one. So I was like, oh, okay.
You can live now your childhood.
Okay. This might be cool. We went down there. And there was James.
And there he was. And he is a lovely, fluffy boy.
He's in
his cage.
Yeah. He's teething.
He's baby.
He's only like 18 weeks old.
Yeah, he's a bubby.
He's so cute.
We let you off, James. But yeah, if you do hear a little bit of background noise, fear not, it's just James.
James McBunnison. And you can follow him on Instagram. Yeah.
You can find his IG page. Yeah. James_McBunnison.
That's the one.
Living his best life with his straws and his lettuce. Is.
What a cutie.
He is a lovely boy.
We love him.
Fantastic. So obviously, Afia, there's a reason why you are a guest on the Grief Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, James. Yes, we know. obviously not a great one, but who are we here to remember and talk about today?
Yes, so we're going to remember my dad, Samuel Champong, who died July 15th, 2018.
18, yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's gone quick. He was 71 at the time of his death. So a good innings. I reckon he could have gone 15 more.
Yeah.
But yeah.
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 Can you take us back to what life was like before the loss of your dad? So what was your childhood like? Mm. Paint a picture for the listeners of Afia and her family life.
So dad and I... Yes, thanks,
James. James is just like, I want my cameo.
Yeah. All right, Dad and I were definitely 100% besties.
Yeah.
I was such a daddy's girl to the point of maybe a little bit sickening. so even when I was, you know, coming to university, because I'm from Scotland, but from Glasgow, but moved to London to go to uni, he was really like, oh, it's too far and I don't want you to go. But it was quite a hard balance between knowing that I was going to go to the best place to do journalism.
Mm-hmm.
But also leaving dad behind. Yeah. I love my mum too, definitely. Oh,
We love you, mum.
Love you, mummy. But we were just really, really close. So even when I, you know, was at university, we would talk every single day, every day. We would text or talk or whatever, always just chatting about, like, we gossip like old women.
Yeah, I love that.
Definitely. And I remember when, like, WhatsApp was first introduced, even though I'd, like, had it for, like, a year or something.
Yeah.
I remember my dad phoning me and being like, Afia, and I was like, what is it? And he's like, there's this new thing that we can text each other, and it's free. And I was like, what is it?
You're like, what? Tell me. Like,
it's WhatsApp. And I didn't have the heart to tell him I already had it.
So dad, like, it's been around for years.
Send me a link. I can't play.
Yeah. Bring me in.
Yeah, and he's like, we can call each other for free too. And I was like, it's like it was invented for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even when he was in his older years, when he would go to Ghana for stretches with my mom and sort of, you know, 6 or 3 months at a time. Because, you know, when you're old. And you've worked. He was a dentist. He worked so hard his whole life. We talk on WhatsApp. And at the end of most conversations, people are like, I still can't believe this is free.
It's bloody free.
And I'd be like, we could chat for ages. Yeah, gotta go work.
Yeah, Dad. But Dad, although it's free, I do have to work.
Yeah, love you. But it has been half an hour talking about Scottish football.
Oh, bless him.
So yeah, we were really close, definitely. Definitely been through a lot together.
Yeah.
You know, crappy relationships. I got divorced, and so he was definitely there for me through all of that, and then, you know, losing his mom, and then my mum's mum, going to those funerals in Ghana, which are huge affairs.
Yes.
Lots of time, lots of money. But, yeah, we were certainly really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two musketeers.
Yeah, we really were. And I must admit, like, that's the thing I think I miss most is those conversations.
Yeah.
Even the little ones, the long ones, the ones where you're on the toilet, Dad, can I call you back?
Dad's not good time. Yeah. Can I give you a call in 5?
Just all those chats. And I think especially in this year, there's been so many times where I just would have loved to call him and just been like, What is this?
Yeah, look at this, Dad. What do you think of that?
Yeah, what are we supposed to do in this? And, you know, he's never lived through a global pandemic, but it's just that air of wisdom is so missed.
Just have those little jewels of wisdom that we should just bless you with.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Absolutely.
So can you go into the story of how Dad passed away from his? Also, we spoke about it.
Yeah.
But as little or as much as you like.
Yeah, so after Dad retired, so he retired when he was, I think, 60, or maybe just before he was 60.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after his retirement, to be honest, his health just really sort of went downhill. My mum's got Parkinson's as well, and I think she was diagnosed quite early on. When you have Parkinson's, your diagnosis is usually around, like, 60 or so, but she was a bit of a Michael J. Fox. You know, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Yes, he was very,
And actually, so is my mum. So I want to say in her 50s, quite early on.
Yeah.
So I think that was partly part of the reason why he did retire early was to help look after mom. But his health definitely went downhill then, various health problems. But he had a knee replacement, gosh, maybe about 2016, 17, something like that.
Okay, so 2 years prior.
But because he had type 2 diabetes, wound, if he had a wound, it would take a long time to heal. Yeah. And so the wound where he had around his knee, excuse me, and he had another one on his shin. And honestly, I'm not exaggerating when I say that took about 18 months to 2 years to heal. And when he went to Ghana, it was better. And he had to have this big bandage with manuka honey. And I'm telling you all this because, you know, it sort of contributes
to the story. The
it was July 2018, and he'd been saying that he had stomach pains, and I remember speaking to him in the week leading up, and he'd been saying it for about a week that he had really bad tummy ache and tummy pains, and I was saying, you should go to the doctor or go to the hospital or something, because he was mum's carer, he didn't want, he didn't feel like he could go or didn't want to go, and also I think we do have that thing of men don't like doctors and hospitals. Yeah. You know, it has to be an actual last resort.
Yeah, yeah, that is our last resort that we're going to go and admit ourselves to the hospital.
Exactly. Yeah. So I definitely think there was an error of that. And but he was a dentist. He was a medical professional, you know. But men will be men. So that was in sort of in the week leading up. Now, that weekend, my brother Kofi's sort of like 2.5 years older than me. He was going to Glasgow that weekend because his friend was having a 40th.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to stay at the family house and have, like, visit mum and dad as well. So he'd gone up, I think, on the Friday.
Mm.
And he said that dad was not very good on the Friday, but on the Saturday he said, oh, he's definitely really unwell. So he called 111. Excuse me. He called 111. And 111 sent an ambulance, and the ambulance took him to hospital. And my brother went, but he called me and said, look, they've said that he's constipated. Mm-hmm. Need to give him something just to clear him out.
Yeah.
He'll be home by tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are you sure? Do I need to come? And he said, no, he's going to be home by tomorrow.
Yeah, don't stress. It's
absolutely fine. He was like, I'm still going to go out tonight. Like, it's not...
Yeah, it's not that big.
It's
not
that deep. Yeah. Like, it's fine. So I said, oh, okay, cool. So he was with him that day in the hospital. I think the Sunday was the World Cup final, so they were talking about that.
And
I think they'd made a plan of like, right, so when you come home, we'll watch the World Cup.
We'll go do that.
Yeah. My dad was like, yeah, cool. And that was on the Saturday. So my brother came home and made sure mum was all comfortable, then went to his friend's thing.
Yeah.
I was in London. I was at an award ceremony that night with my partner. And on the way home from that awards ceremony, it must have been it was after midnight, and my partner was like, oh, I'm hungry, let's go past McDonald's.
Yeah.
So we were in an Uber. I said, fine, you pop in, I'll just wait in the car. So I was in the car and something just said to me, just ring Dad. Even if it was so late, I was like, even if I leave a voicemail,
just something.
Let me just call. So I called and he picked up the phone. And he was in tears. He was really upset. He was saying, I'm in so much pain. I feel I'm in so much pain. And he was saying, is this the end? Is this the end? And I was like, no, this is not the end. This is not the end. I said, Dad, you'll be fine. I love you. Go to sleep. And I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that was the last time we spoke. I was the last person that he spoke to. And so it turns out that he wasn't constipated. In fact, he had peritonitis, which is an infection in his intestines, in his stomach.
Right.
So that's what had been causing the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was saying about wounds in his leg, they think maybe something had got in, like one of those wounds wasn't actually properly healed.
Yeah.
And that made him more, or the infection got in there, or made him more susceptible to infection. So he was just riddled with infection, had a massive heart attack in his bed in hospital and died. And so I think someone went in to check on him at 5 or 5:30 and he was already dead. He couldn't be resuscitated. So we'd come home, crashed out, went to sleep.
Yeah.
I remember waking up and looking at my phone. My phone had been on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, see, I always, you know, I have mine on Do Not Disturb and I always freak when I do. I think, what if?
I looked at my phone and I had something like 71 missed calls.
Oh my God.
I had text from my brother, I had text from my brother's girlfriend.
Mm.
And I was just like, oh,
is it
God.
Just you and your brother?
Yeah, and I knew.
Yeah.
I knew.
You don't even want to call back.
Yeah, I knew.
Because you just know.
And I remember just like snatching up the phone. It's like sitting up bar right in bed. And my partner was like, what's going on?
Mm.
And I just rung my brother back. And he told me. And all I remember is like sort of, It was really odd, like it was as if I was catapulted out of the bed, and then I just remember like hearing all this screaming, but not realizing that I was the person.
It
who
was me.
Screaming.
It's like an out of body experience.
And people always say that, but it
really
genuinely
is.
was like I was not within my body at all.
And that noise as well that we produce.
What is that noise?
It's
like a keening or
and like
something.
A primal. I always say it's like a primal noise of like, like I remember when I found out my mum died and just this wail. Like it's a wail that just came.
It's
from your soul. It's from
it?
Your soul. Just
absolutely.
Like, and when you realise, oh my God, that's me that's making that noise.
Yeah.
And also, your body is just pushing, like you say, you catapult out of bed, your body is just pushing you, like,
somewhere, anywhere.
It doesn't know what it's doing.
Yeah, it doesn't, does it? And it was just sort of, it was very, like, just being in that minute, and I can almost, like, replay it in my head, and it is very out of body. And I think my partner took the phone and was trying to talk to my brother, and I was just,
So then after that, what was your next steps after that? Was it get up to Glasgow?
Yeah, so it was a Sunday. And my daughter had a dance display that day and I was supposed to host it and I just couldn't.
Absolutely
so
not,
I had to, text them and let them know that unfortunately I wouldn't be able to do that. And in Ghanaian culture, it's sort of... It's just, when you let people know, they immediately, like, come to the house to just sort of sit with you and keep you company. So as people started to find out, so my aunt and uncle came over, bless them, brought food.
Yeah.
And my cousin came, a couple of my friends came. But for the first couple of hours, I just remember, like, I had to pick... It's not here. I had to move it because I now use this to do work. But I remember I had a picture... I think it was my graduation picture of me, my mum and dad here. I remember just like sitting here, just like leaning against the shelf, just like hugging this picture.
Yeah.
And my partner, bless him, was just like, people are coming, you're gonna have to just get in the shower.
Yeah, just something.
Get dressed. Yeah. Like, let's find something to wear. Put something on your head.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Oh.
He did so well. So I managed to throw on some clothes, put a head wrap on. Naima came back. But luckily my aunt and uncle were here. So my aunt spoke to her about it.
Yeah.
And she was actually...
How old was she at the time?
She was six.
Six.
And she was upset. But I think my aunt, bless her, my aunt Esther, she's my favourite.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way she explained it was so beautiful that all Naima wanted to do was just draw, like, loads of pictures for him. So she spent the next few hours just with all this paper out, just drawing all these pictures, which was really lovely.
Yeah.
And then it was sort of, like, organising to... Because we were supposed to be... Naima and I were supposed to be going to Tenerife on the Wednesday.
Right.
And so we were sort of half packed for that.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's right, pretty strange, out. Like getting rid of bikinis and just finding all my black clothes and shoving them in suitcases.
What a turn of events.
Yeah. For me and Nene and just sort of getting, I just remember sort of getting stuff together. At one point, someone ordered loads of pizza, which then made me feel quite ill, but loads, and just because people were around, you sort of make sure that people have food and drinks and stuff.
Almost like hosting, aren't
you? Yeah. And then that evening, my friend came around with her two daughters, and her daughter brought her rabbit to keep Naima amused, so that was really nice. And then my friend sort of helped me with suitcases. Mm-hmm. She was like, have you got any underwear in there? And I was like, do we need? She was like, she was like,
just the things, yeah.
You've got 15 black t-shirts, but you haven't got any trousers.
You've got nothing, bottoms.
You haven't got any underwear.
Yeah.
Do you need anything smart? You know.
You're just like erratic, aren't
you? Yeah, completely.
You're
just, like, she was
like,
Naima's got a summer suitcase, but you're going to Glasgow. The weather's not going to be good. Let's do that. So she just sort of helped me. But I just couldn't think.
Yeah.
And then she helped me sort of figure out if I wanted to get a refund from Ryanair, this is what to do.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, don't feel nowhere about going on Wednesday. If you decide you want to go, go.
Yeah.
But she was like, if you don't want to go, this is what
this
to
what
do.
This is what you can do. Yeah.
So she sort of helped me organise all
thank
that.
Thank God for and friends
I,
like that.
I know. I ended up not going, actually, just because I didn't feel it was right to leave my mum at that point. Mm. But all power to Ryanair. They gave us our money back on the flight.
Oh, good. One time they pulled through. Yeah.
So that Sunday was a blur. And then we got on the train and went to Scotland on the Monday. And I remember being on the train and being so anxious. Mm. Because at the other end, you don't know what you're going to find. Yeah. And the train journey was like 5.5 hours.
To sit there with your thoughts.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
I remember the lady across from me, she was like, oh, are you okay? Because I was crying on the train. And I told her what happened. And bless her, she just kept me talking. She's talked about lots of things. Stuff.
She just talked to me the whole way, chatting.
I don't even know what about, but we were just talking, and when we got off the train I was like, oh, that went really quickly. She was like, I'm glad. And my brother's friend came to pick us up at the station and drove us home. And I remember just on that drive, like, because you don't know what to expect.
You almost know it's going to be sadness, but you don't know, like, the depths of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't know how mum would be, I didn't know how my brother would be, but actually being home those first few days, you know, before you get into the will and it gets difficult and fractious.
All the practical stuff,
Those first few days were spent just laughing a lot.
Yeah, reminiscing.
And looking through old pictures and things like that. I remember sitting in the kitchen. So, the house was full of people. My dad have loads and loads of friends up there. So, our house was just full of people.
Yeah.
And full of food. I remember being in the kitchen. And my mum had a housekeeper who worked with her at the time.
Mm.
Who was like one of our aunts. She was lovely. So, me and her and my brother were in the kitchen. And my mum came in and was like, oh, everybody sit down. Let's have something to eat. Mm. So, I sat down on the stool. And my aunt was about to say, oh, that stool is... And as I sat on it, the whole thing just collapsed.
Oh, no.
And she was like, I was just about to tell you that stool's broken. So I was just like, just sat on the floor.
Yeah, just
everybody
laughing.
Everybody was just killing themselves.
Just that
laughing.
Laugh you just needed.
And
yeah.
People came in the kitchen and were like, are you guys okay? And I just couldn't get up from the floor. There were some really ridiculous moments. But, yeah, it is really out of body. You feel like it's not happened to you.
Yeah. And you never feel like it will happen to you.
No, you don't. And when it does happen to you, you're like, is this what it's supposed to feel like? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Am I doing it right? Is this, am I meant to feel like an out-of-body experience?
Yeah.
Am I going mad?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yeah. Mm. And for that week when we were in Scotland, I remember going to bed on the Sunday night and I said to myself, if you can get up and get Naima dressed and fed every morning, That's all you have to do.
Oh, amazing.
For the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But even when I was looking like trash,
yeah,
I was like, make sure you get up and get her showered and our eczema sorted. Creams on,
yeah,
and dressed and our hair brushed. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, even in the depths of your grief, in the nitty-gritty of it,
yeah,
your priority and will always be Naima and your daughter. It's and you've told to yourself. And yeah, and it's got to be.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show what type of mother you are. Absolutely fantastic. And that.
This is the thing, is that you've still got to, when you've lost a parent and you still have to parent.
Yeah. That's
the weirdest.
You know, honest to God, like, I take my hats off to people that have lost parents while parenting, especially like people. I've met people who are in the brand new motherhood, and it's literally my words are gone.
I couldn't even imagine.
And yeah.
When Naima was first born, my mum and dad were just there for me.
Mm.
I mean, dad kind of refused to hold Naima when she was tiny.
He'd be like, so fragile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what my dad's like with, yeah. So
funny. He didn't ever change a nappy. Don't think that we didn't.
Yeah, lie. Yeah, we saw that.
But him and Naima were so sweet together.
Thick as thieves.
Yeah, yeah. He used to help her do her homework and they would read together and stuff. Oh, she just adored him. And they would just have like really silly jokes. They'd laugh and yeah. Yeah, they were real kindred spirits, the two of them.
Yeah.
Loved a nap. So they did.
Loved a nap together.
Loved a nap.
Oh, I love that.
Loved a nap and a read. And a little bit of maths. They were just,
oh, and a bit of maths?
Yeah.
Oh, was she a maths head?
Yeah.
Oh.
Really cute together. I remember when Naima was tiny and I used to go and visit my mum and dad and like meet up with my friends and stuff. And mum and dad would be like, yeah, just leave Naima, but she's fine.
Leave her nanny and granddad.
Yeah. And so I'd call up and she'd be like screaming in the background. I'm like, dad, is she okay? Yeah, she's fine. What's that screaming? That's the TV.
Sure? It's a horror film on the telly. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'd come home the next day, mum would be like, she screamed the place down. I'm like, I called dad, she said he was fine. I didn't hear anything, she was fine.
It's a different, there's a different world of parenting there, isn't it? Honestly. Like the older generation, it doesn't,
when they're like, grandparents, they're oh just God. Like, I mean, I remember when even my mum and dad used to come here and I'd like go to work or whatever and mum and dad would like, oh, we'll just pop to Dalston with Naima.
Yeah.
Oh, fine, do whatever. Like, if she's supposed to be going to, we'll just keep her from nursery and we'll take her to the shops.
Yeah.
Fine. Come back. Like, oh, Naima, did you get three? She'd be like, I've got four fidget spinners and a bag of Haribos. What's happening here?
Oh, did you know?
What would be happening here?
Why
is it a family pack of Haribos?
Not the small bag.
My dad would be like, she didn't know what fidget spinners, so I bought them all.
Oh, I love that. This? Spoil them oh, rotten. It's a different ball game, isn't it, though?
Different.
And then we look back at our childhood and we think, are you joking?
Four fidget spinners?
A family size bag of Haribo?
What?
Everything goes. Everything goes for dad the grandchildren.
Like, better value.
What? Better value?
Excuse me. Okay, so you're on duty when she has not slept for 6 months.
Yeah, you're dealing with that.
Yeah, yeah.
When her E numbers are through
8 o'clock at night, and I don't know why she's holding a cola bottle. I don't know. Oh, that was
I love it. Like when they're with, you know, with the grandparents, they'll just play.
Honestly.
Oh, I love it.
Honestly,
love
but that. He was such a good papa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what is your outlook on life now? And do you think you have any positive outcome from your grief? And like I said, if you don't, you don't, and that's fine.
I think my outlook on life is that it's just so bloody short.
Mm.
And I know it's a massive cliche, like we said about out-of-body experiences, but it will go by like that.
Yeah.
It really will. So it's really made me think that I should just do the things that I want to do, whether it's, you know, learn to surf, which I do need to do.
Pending.
Yes.
But gonna happen.
Surf happening. Or just anything. Or just telling someone you love them. Another massive cliche, but I will be forever grateful that God told me to call my dad at 10 past midnight on that Saturday night so I could tell him one more time, even if it sounded like every other time that I've said it,
yeah.
that I loved him. There's been so many nights when I've missed him, wanted to talk to him, that I've been so forever grateful that that was our last conversation.
Yeah.
I am so, like, that has brought me a lot of peace.
Yeah.
It really has.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing, is just if you love someone, tell them. Just tell them, because you might, that might be the last time that you get to tell them.
If you feel that urge, just do it.
Just say it. And that is, I honestly cannot say that enough. I will live by that from now on.
Yeah.
Because I did get to do it. And even if I did say it, because I always say it, at least I said it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't have to live with the thought that I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, in that sense, it's really made me just feel a lot of things and just sort of take risks a bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe with, like, my career and with relationships, do the things that I want to do.
Yeah.
In terms of positives, I really feel like my dad has been an angel on my shoulder.
Mm.
Definitely in terms of my career. I know he's up there, like, opening
those doors for you.
Like, left, right, and centre. He's definitely made me stronger and more determined to be more successful.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely always wanted certain things, but since his death, I've sort of been able to just be a bit more ballsy about it.
Yeah.
And a bit more, like, ask the questions, ask for what you want.
Ask what you want, yeah.
Because there would be loads of
times... They just wait for it to come to you, go and get it. Yeah.
When I graduated from university and I wasn't an anchor on BBC News, my dad would be like, why are you not an anchor on BBC News? And I'd be like, it doesn't actually work like that. Yeah. Like,
I don't just leave university and enroll into the BBC.
Yeah, unfortunately. But his sort of, like, blind belief in my talents sometimes got a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he would be like, but I don't know why you haven't...
Yeah, because you're so good. Yeah. Like, you should be in BBC.
He was like, I don't know why you haven't applied for a job at ITV as an anchor. I don't know why you haven't done it. And I would make excuses. I'd be like, but it doesn't work like that. Or you don't have that many black women or blah, blah, blah. But he was just like, no, but I'm not talking about black women. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about you. You know? And so he really just had this sort of... blind faith in me that I really wish I'd had in myself from such a long time ago. And it is, sometimes it is a bit of a, it can be a bit painful that since he's passed, I've done all these amazing things. And I know that he, you know, he's up there seeing it, but, you know, it,
your number one cheerleader. Yeah. You wish he was here to see.
I do. I really wish sometimes after, like, doing ITV or GMB, I could call him up and he'll be like, that Piers, who does he think?
And you know he'd been watching it. Yeah.
You know, it just, I really, really wish he'd been here to see. And I know he sees, but you know, sometimes it's not the same.
I know, exactly. As much as we know that they are, they're ever guiding us and ever supporting us from wherever they may be. It's not the real deal, is it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, fear not. He is definitely opening doors for you.
Oh, absolutely.
And blessings upon blessings. Because you've absolutely smashed it this year.
Oh, bless you.
And I'm being very grateful that I've come across, our paths have crossed this year. So I can see what you've, just watching from when I first found you and then just all the way through lockdown, I'm like, oh, Afia's killing it, man. Like, she's absolutely killing it. Bless and you. We're all proud of you. And I'm absolutely sure Dad is too.
Oh. I hope so. I really hope so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Leading into my last and favourite question.
Yes.
The big daddy, the big dog.
Yes.
If you could tell your past self one bit of truthful and honest advice for this grief journey you're about to endure, what would it be?
I think I'd tell her a few things. I would tell her, first of all, that she can get through it. That even when it seems absolutely fucking, excuse my language,
you can sweat all you like, darling.
when like the nights are long and the tears are many, that it will, you will be able to get up and
and you'll see another
get
night
dressed and do all those things. Like, it's possible. In those first 6 months, I was like, I am going to die too. You know.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, my brother's friend, the same one that had the 40th that you went home for, his mum died when he was 17, can you imagine? And his dad died 4 months later of a broken heart.
That's that, I was about to say, of a broken heart.
And I was like, I'm going to die with a broken heart.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I thought, I will die. I'm going to die with a broken heart.
Yeah. I genuinely thought it. But I was like, I can't afford to leave Naima. Like, I can't leave her in this amount of pain that I'm in. Pass that on to her. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I would tell her that she will get through it. Definitely. I would tell her just to be easy. Or just not to be hard on myself. I think I've been very
be kind
like...
to yourself. Yeah.
I've been very like... Okay, it's been 1 month, you must be able to do this. It's been 2 months, you can do this. It's been 1 year, you should feel like this. It's been 2 years, you should feel like this. No.
Nah.
I just remove all that.
Yeah.
And just tell myself to just be a bit easy on myself.
Yeah, yeah, don't put time constraints on anything.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, because time constraints are bollocks.
I was talking to someone bollocks. About this the other day, who lost a parent a number of years ago. And they were saying that, you know, they still have real moments when they miss that person. And we were just both saying that old cliche that grief is a journey. But it really is.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter if you knew someone for 1 year or you knew them for 100. And it doesn't matter if you lost them 10 years ago or if you lost them 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It still hurts.
Yeah.
It's still painful. Yeah. And you still have to do it in your own time. And that is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
My friend Karen said to me, I think I saw about 2 or 3 weeks after my dad died, she was like, you had him in your life for 36-37 years. Don't be surprised if it takes you 36 or 37 years to get over it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And she was like, but you've never known life without him.
Yeah.
Why do you think you'll be able to just adjust?
Why do you think, this would just be an easy thing? And I think as well for like grieving people, that is one of the hardest realisations, is that this is a lifetime thing.
It is.
And coming to terms with that, almost not knowing like an expiry date of it.
Yeah.
And knowing that, okay, cool, probably in 10 years time I'll be all right.
Yeah.
It'll be less, and those days won't hit as bad, or the anniversaries won't hurt as much. But when you fully embrace that, babe, this is a lifelong thing.
This is it.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I would also say that you can still find joy. Like, feel okay about laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Feel okay about celebrating.
Yeah.
Feel okay about finding those moments of joy within that period of grief, however long that is.
Mm.
Okay, I remember when my birthday was sort of like 2 months after Dad died, and I was like, no, not doing anything. Don't want to do anything. Don't want to celebrate.
Yeah.
But I've always been about... I'm always about that birthday life. Like,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Because I always say... But you're here, you're still here, and other people are. And that year, for some reason, I was like, no. I remember thinking to myself afterwards, you really wasted that.
That your birthday,
Because you were still here, and even though, like, Dad still wants you to
live,
be happy.
And be, yeah.
No, he didn't send you a really long birthday text message. I know he didn't send you a birthday card with a nice crisp £50 note, as he used to, which is still very exciting when you're 30.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean he's not wishing you birthday blessings from wherever he is, you know? So, yeah, I think those would be the things. I think it would be you'll get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And still try and find the joy.
Enjoy
and
some things.
Feel okay about finding the joy.
Amazing. That's lovely to end on.
Yeah. Finding joy.
Fantastic. Right, Afia, tell the people where we can find you.
Oh, yes.
Any exciting things coming up too? Drop it in.
Oh, yeah, that's
you know what I mean?
True.
Got your collection on this morning, tomorrow.
I'm on this morning at the end of this week on Friday. I've got some stuff coming up with them for Black History Month as well.
Amazing.
So watch this space.
Love that.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, Afia Scott. And I've always got some chat happening on there.
Yeah, I love it.
There's always stuff bubbling.
Absolutely, I'm loving it. I'm always tapping, liking, loving. Oh, well, Afia, thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
This has been amazing, talking about all things Dad, Samuel.
I know.
Grief Gang, I hope you've enjoyed listening to that. I will obviously drop Afia's tags and everything of where you can find her. For now, take care. And stay blessed. Bye.
Bye. James says bye.
Oh, yeah. James says bye too. Bye.
Oh, that was. was awesome.
That was so good. Let me just...
Well, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it and it set your week off to a great start. Whether you've laughed a little, cried a little, I mean, I think crying is good for the soul, or you've resonated with something that was said, thank you for listening and spending time out of your day to do so. If you like what you hear, please do rate, review and subscribe. In doing so, you're ensuring that lots more people get to find the Grief Gang podcast and hopefully help them too. If you're not already, check out the Grief Gang on social media platforms such as Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. I'm most active on the Instagram page where I love, love, love to connect with you all. For now, take care and big, big love.